Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We begin with Allah's blessed name. We praise Him and we glorify Him as He ought to be praised and glorified. And we pray for peace and for blessings on all His noble messengers, and in particular on the last of them all, the blessed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. As we greet you from the studios of the Islamic Broadcasting Network here in my native island of Trinidad with Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is today the 14th day of the month of Jumadi al-Akhirah, and so tonight is the full moon night. Tonight is the night of the full moon. And today we should be reciting Suratul Anbiya and Suratul Hajj. That's our juz for today. I am tired today and I'm sleepy, so if I fall asleep, please wake me. wake me up. I'm getting a lot of emails from those who would like me to comment on the coronavirus. But before I comment on the coronavirus and before I make an additional comment on the on supporting the Orthodox Christian Church in Montenegro, and before I make a comment on scholars of Islam who choose to be politically correct, that's their profile, let me first remind you that today, after this session, this IBN session is over, I will be lecturing at the, it's called the Darul Hannan, it's the home for the aged in Ravine Sab after Longdonville. I went to school in Longdonville as a boy. The lecture is at 10:45, so you have enough time to drive to Longdonville and meet me there. I understand they're preparing lunch for us. The lecture is going to be in the Masjid, Baytullah, and I will speak on the Quran and the moon. The Quran and the moon. I'm writing that book at this time. I'm in no hurry to complete the book. I never realized how important the subject was. I knew it was important. But as I kept on writing the book, I realized more and more how even more important it was than I had first realized. The Quran and the moon methodology for recitation of the Quran, you'll enjoy that talk. I gave a taste of it the last time I spoke at Darul Hannan. But today we'll go into the subject a little deeper. I'm going to bring some sets of my books also today to Darul Hannan. So those of you who like to get my books, you can buy them over there. And I can autograph them for you. So I look forward to meeting you there in Ravine Sab today, inshallah, at 10:45 for the lecture on the Quran and the moon. Then we sit down and we have lunch together, inshallah. Next week, next session, 1 week from now, on Sunday, Yawm al-Ahad, we'll have some sisters sitting around the table here with me. And the sisters are going to express the viewpoint of our sisters on affairs affecting the family, affecting children, affecting marriages, affecting women and the Muslim community. The viewpoint of our woman, let the woman speak. I hope they don't come to simply ask me questions, that's all. We want to hear their viewpoint, and that's why if we don't complete the session next week, we'll continue it for another 1 week. And finally, I'm getting orders, people are ordering complete sets of my books. Yeah, alhamdulillah, and that's how I earn my livelihood when I'm writing my books. But if you're ordering just a few books, don't please send an email to me. If you want to order just a few books, then please go to my online bookstore, imranhussain.com. Please put it at the bottom. There you are. The bookstore, imranhussain.com. You can make your order from there. It's only if you want to order the complete set of which this is one of the books, Methodology for the Study of the Quran, and you want to get them autographed, and it have to be done here in Trinidad. You have to do it now before I leave Trinidad. I'm going to leave immediately after Eid al-Fitr. So you have about 2 months, 3 months left in which to make the order for the complete set, and I will make them, autograph them for you and send them from Trinidad. Only if you order in the complete set, only then do you write to me at imranhussain@hotmail.com. That's you see it at the bottom of the screen. My email address, imranhussain@hotmail.com, if you want to order the books. Some people can say, Sheikh, what are you reading at this time? What book are you reading? We want to get to know what you're reading. Here, this is what I'm reading at this time. I just got this book, The Real Revolution in Military Affairs by a Russian scholar, Andrei Matinov. Here we are. This is what I'm reading at this time. And I'm just completing now a big book on the real history, not the doctored history of the First World War. It's a huge book like this, The Real History of the First World War. I'm just completing that book at home. This is what I read at this time, yes. And so now, after that, let us now turn to today's session on the coronavirus. One of the most important functions of a scholar of Islam is to read and to understand the world in that stage of history in which he lives, in that stage of the historical process in which he lives. So if you are a scholar of Islam alive today, we expect you to be able to read and understand using the Quran, using the truth which Allah has sent, and using not only these eyes, but this eye as well, the internal eye, the nur that Allah gives to you, and using the correct methodology. Here is the book on methodology, the correct methodology for study of the Quran, one of the most important things that my teacher of blessed memory, Mawlana Fadlur Rahman Ansari Rahimahullah, ever did, was to teach the proper methodology for the study of the Quran. And this is what the scholars of Islam in this age must do. Using that proper methodology, they must study the world today. And the world today is like a river in a huge flood with dangerous currents in it. And I was 24, 25 years of age, and I had this dream. And I saw this river, a huge river. I seldom share my dreams with you, but I want to share this dream with you. I was 25 years of age, and I was a student at the Alimia Institute of Islamic Studies in Karachi, Pakistan. And Mawlana Fadlur Rahman Ansari was my teacher, Rahimahullah. And I saw this huge river, bigger than the rivers of Guyana. And the river was swollen, floods, and there were lots of dangerous currents in the river. And I saw all my fellow students in the river, and they were all struggling to survive, all of them in danger of drowning, and lots of other people. And I saw myself swimming in that river and saving them one by one. So I woke up in the morning, and I went to Maulana Fadlur Rahman Ansari, rahimahullah, and I said, Maulana, this is what I saw in my dream. He smiled, and he said to me, he said, you are destined, this is your destiny, to do precisely that in future, in the future. May Allah have mercy on the soul of my beloved teacher. And this is what I'm trying to do now. This is the function of a scholar of Islam today. He must be able to recognize that the world today is like a swollen and a dangerous river. He must be able to recognize all the dangerous currents in the river. He must be able to recognize so many people are drowning, who are in danger of drowning. He must be able to go in that river and save the people. You can't do that if you want to have a backbone to be politically correct. You can't do that if you want to stay with the flock of scholars of Islam who are asleep. If you want to do that, you have to have insight, you have to be faithful to the truth. And then you could understand coronavirus. That's right, in Akhiru Zaman, when the last stage of history comes, Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam said it, and they know it. He was, it was the Ghazwat al-Tabuk, the war of Tabuk. And he was sitting in a leather tent. This is a hadith of Sahih Bukhari. And he said, count six things before the end of the world, the Sa'ah. And amongst the six is, let me get it for you. Amongst the six, he said, Thumma Mutan. And then he said, there will be a plague. Ya'khuzu fikum kanu'asi al-ghanam. There will be a plague, meaning an epidemic, and it will kill you in large numbers the way it kills sheep. This is what he said. This is one of his prophecies. So Akhiru Zaman is a time when there will be epidemics, plagues. The word which used to be used long ago was plague, but nobody uses that term anymore. Now they use the term epidemic instead of plague. And in the epidemic today, we have the coronavirus, which has just attacked China. And one of the functions of the scholars of Islam today, if you are able to read the world correctly, is to offer an insight and offer an explanation and say, Allah knows best. That's right, just say it, Allah knows best. You can be right, you can be wrong, but you must at least come forward and offer an explanation, which is what I'm doing. And my view is that Dajjal is at work in coronavirus, the one who wants to rule the world from Jerusalem. So he has to have a Pax Judaica, which will replace Pax Americana, the way Pax Americana replaced Pax Britannica, you know, the three, Pax Britannica, Pax Americana, Pax Judaica, so that Israel can rule the world. And Allah speaks of this in Surah Al-Mursalat. And when we interpret the Quran, only Allah can confirm that it is correct. But we must make the effort to interpret. Don't be afraid. Have some backbone. Intaliku ba'da'uzu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Intaliku ila zillin dhi thalasi shu'ab. Proceed now to that shadow which will come upon the world. A shadow which will have three parts. And my opinion, and Allah knows best, these are the three parts. In order for a Pax Judaica to replace Pax Americana, in order for Israel to become the ruling state in the world, the population of Arabs, this is Muslim and Christian Arabs, which surround Israel, has to be substantially reduced. You cannot reduce that population substantially through warfare, because you'll get a very bad name. You can use warfare to take control of territory, which is what Israel is going to do. But in order to substantially reduce the population and not be blamed for it, you need something called biological warfare. What I am explaining is what they can do. They can explain the same thing, but they would not speak. I don't know. I've now given up. I've stopped trying with them. Let them go their way and I'll go mine. Okay? I've tried for 20, 30 years with them now, but they're just stuck in concrete. So, brother, goodbye. I'm going my way. You go yours. This is what is happening today. They are using the coronavirus, in my opinion, it is a trial run. And they're using it with the most populous nation in the world, the Chinese. And they're using it to see how China will respond to control it, and how the World Health Organization in Geneva will respond to control it. And so they are monitoring the coronavirus, exquisite monitoring going on at this time. Those who want to rule the world from Jerusalem. That's what they're doing while this corona, of course, they're the ones who planted it in the first place. I have no doubt about that. Dajjal uses Gog and Magog to commit facade, spread facade all over the world. And so the coronavirus has to be located in biological warfare in Akhiru Zaman. That is my statement. How do we respond? I don't know how many people will die. That's not important to me. What is important to me is to see how does the Chinese government deal with this problem. We know that our prophet said, Allah's blessings be upon him, 1400 years ago, he said, when a plague takes place, if you are located in that place where the plague is spreading, do not leave. And if you are outside, do not enter. It's called a quarantine. And he said this 1400 years ago, quarantine. And now the world has picked up that same system of quarantine. But if you are coming back to Trinidad from China, if they allow you to enter, they'll put you in quarantine and check to see whether or not you have the virus before they allow you to enter into the population. And so the important thing that they are doing now is monitoring the Chinese government to see how does the Chinese government respond to this epidemic of the coronavirus. And secondly, how does the world respond? What is the World Health Organization in Geneva doing? The president of the World Health Organization used to be a Muslim from Trinidad and Tobago, yes. Kamaluddin Muhammad used to be president. I was a student in Geneva at that time when he was elected president of the World Health Organization, WHO, in Geneva. The second thing that is important for us is that to recognize that the Arabs are going to be wiped out by plague. Our Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, has spoken, and I've just given you the hadith from Sahih Bukhari, about Mutan, a plague which will kill you the way sheep are killed. This is one of the six that he mentioned, six things, the hadith, which was at the time of the Ghazwat Tabuk. So the Arabs are the one who have to be most concerned about coronavirus. And that is that every Arab government, Algeria, Mauritania, Morocco, Tunisia, Libya, Egypt, Iraq, Syria, Jordan, Yemen, the whole of the Arab, Jaziratul Arab. You should all be sending monitors, people who can go to Beijing, to monitor how the Chinese government is dealing with this problem. How can they contain it? See how the Chinese government is operating, and learn from what they are doing, their mistakes, and will they correct things? Check to see how the World Health Organization is responding to it. Because tomorrow, after the trial runs over, tomorrow the plague is going to hit the Arab world. And they will want to ensure that you are not prepared for it, and that huge numbers of Arabs will die as prophesied by the Prophet ﷺ. And so for the whole world of Islam, yes, it is important. But coronavirus is far, far more important for the Arab world, because this is Akhiru Zaman. And in Akhiru Zaman, there is a prophecy of a virus attack on the Arab world, which will kill huge numbers of Arabs. What else can we do to protect ourselves from virus and from these dangers of Akhiru Zaman? Let me remind you of the ayah of Suratul Isra of the Quran. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَعَدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنِ. And when you recite the Quran, وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنِ, Quran means a recitation. So when you recite that recitation, جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا Mastura. We will place a hijab which will separate you from that world which rejects belief in the hereafter, which is the modern Western world and the secularized world of today. It is from that world that all of these things are coming. It is from the Judeo-Christian alliance which leads that world, which refuses, which does not believe in the hereafter. It's just words for them. They don't have any consequential belief in the hereafter, no. Their religion is only paperwork. This is what Allah can do for you. He can protect you. That Allah will place a hijab, a curtain, a barrier, which will protect you from them. But for that, you not only have to recite the Quran every day, but you have to recite the Quran as it ought to be recited. فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَ. And when we have recited the Quran, Allah is speaking, you must follow that way of recitation. And his way we know, others may have more knowledge than me, of course they do have. But I know that he recited the whole Quran in Ramadan, and did it through the angel. He recited the whole Quran in Ramadan. So we have 1 month in which to recite the whole Quran. That's the way, the divine way to recite the Quran. And you'll have one juz for every day. And of course, you know you must not break up the Quran into bits and pieces. Qul inni ana an-nazirun mubin. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, I am a warner, and I warn in a way which is plain and clear, no ambiguity. Kama anzalna ala al-muqtasimin. Here is the warning. And this warning is sent down to the muqtasimin. Who are the muqtasimin? The answer is there. Alladhina جَعَلُوا الْقُرْآنَ عِدِّينَ. They are those who break up the Qur'an into bits and pieces. They take Surah Al-Baqarah, and when they reach 141, they chop it. And they say, that is juz number one. And they go to Baqarah 252, and when they reach there, they say juz number two, and they chop it. Allah says, الَّذِينَ جَعَلُوا الْقُرْآنَ عِدِّينَ. They are those who break up the Qur'an into bits and pieces. And then he says, فَوَرَبِّكَ فَوَرَبِّكَ O Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, I take an oath by your Rabb. لَنَسْأَلَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ I'm going to question every single one of them. بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ For what they have done to this Qur'an. So there is a correct way to recite the Qur'an cover to cover once a month. And if you do that, then when others are dying like sheep because of the epidemic, Allah can protect you. The Qur'an can protect you because وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا So one of the ways in which you can protect yourself from the coronavirus and from the other dangers of Akhiru Zaman is to recite the Qur'an from cover to cover once a month, every day, one juz a day, and to recite it the way that Allah recited it. This is our comment on the coronavirus. We now turn to the subject of our talk 1 week ago, in which we launched an appeal. A very prominent scholar, an Orthodox Christian scholar in the city of Belgrade, wrote to me. He's a dear friend of mine now. And he asked me for help. He says, we consider you to be someone who is just, and we consider you to be a friend. This is a Christian. And we're asking you to try to get the Muslims in the Balkans. The Balkans mean that part of the world is which is located Bosnia and Herzegovina, Albania, Kosovo, Macedonia, Montenegro, Croatia, Serbia, Slovenia, all of these countries combined. No, not Slovenia. Slovenia is part of Czechoslovakia, yeah. All of these countries combined are called the Balkans. That is from Turkey all the way to Russia. This part of the world, which is known as the Balkans, is where Islam and Orthodox Christianity live side by side. And the government of Montenegro, which is a pro-NATO government, pro-Zionist government, therefore pro-Israel government, has launched an attack on the Orthodox Christians because they are the ones who are Muslims who are standing up against Israel. Only two forces in the world standing up against Israel, religious forces. One, those who follow Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Two, those who follow Jesus rather than Santa Claus. You know there are Christians who follow Santa Claus, most of them in the West, not all, and those who follow Jesus, Nabi Isa alayhi salam. So these are the two communities, religious communities in the world who are resisting Israel. The community which follows Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and you'll never find a true Muslim in the embrace of NATO. You will never, never, never find a true Muslim in the embrace of NATO because that is violating Allah's command in the Quran. And you have the Orthodox Christians and NATO is waging war on them in the Balkans. And so we are natural allies of each other. And so I made the appeal because the government of Montenegro is attempting to seize all the property of the Orthodox Christian Church and break the back of Orthodox Christianity in Montenegro. And I made the appeal last week, and there has been a furious response from some Muslims in that part of the world. And as a consequence, I had to think, why are they behaving like this? And I realized that they are a people who are making the mistake of reading the world only through historical events and coming to conclusion based on history and disregarding the Quran. That is what is happening. And so I have to continue making the effort as gently as I can to bring them to the Quran. Because if the Quran gives one version of truth and history gives another, you will understand it is Dajjal who has manufactured that historical profile. That is Dajjal's work, and you're being deceived. And so now here is, remember, you never take one verse of the Quran in isolation. And I have taken several verses of the Quran to come bring them all together in a harmonious whole, because this is precisely the methodology for the study of the Quran, which has come from my teacher, Maulana Fadlur Rahman Ansari Rahimahullah. Do not take any verse in isolation. So here is this verse, crucially important, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ لَتَجِدَنَّ. This is Surah Al-Ma'idah. You will most certainly find, at the time when the Quran was revealed, as well as in time to come, because this is fi'l mudari'ah, what will you find? لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودِ. That those who will have the greatest hatred and enmity and hostility for you Muslims would be the Jews. How come I'm not being arrested for anti-Semitism? What's wrong? Are you sleeping? No, they don't want to attack the Quran. They're scared of the Quran. Because I'm quoting the Quran. That's why they won't attack me on this statement. You will most certainly find that those who have the greatest hatred and enmity and hostility for you would be the Jews at the time when the Quran was revealed and in time to come. This happened, yes, in the lifetime of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that the Jews were the most hostile of all to him. And this is happening once again today at this time, that they are the most hostile of all in the world today to us. But the verse goes on to say, وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. That in addition to the Jews, those who are most hostile to the Muslims were الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا, the people who were in shirk. And those at the time when the Quran was revealed who were in the greatest shirk were precisely the Arabs, the pagan Arabs in Mecca, and the Persian Empire, when the emissary of the Prophet ﷺ arrived at the Persian court. What did Persia do? They beheaded him. Yes, they beheaded him. So this is the greatest hatred and enmity and hostility. It came from the Jews and it came from the pagan Arabs who were in shirk, worshipping idols made of wood and stone. Yes, they worship Allah, but Allah was just one God amongst all the other gods. And so also the Persian Empire. And this is happening again today. Today, that those who are showing the greatest hatred and enmity and hostility, who are waging war on Islam, are not just the Jews, but a modern Western civilization, who have said the father is not Al-Akbar. No, the son is also Al-Akbar. This is why Allah in Surah Al-Ma'idah, he has this conversation on Judgment Day with Nabi Isa with Jesus alayhi salam, and he asked him, "Anta kulta, did you say, O Jesus, did you say to the people, take me and my mother as gods, Al-Akbar beside Allah?" He's referring to modern Western civilization, this form, version of Christianity, which is designed to say tomorrow that the mother is also God, equal with the father and equal with the son. That's what they're going to say tomorrow. So Allah is speaking in Surah Al-Ma'idah, and he's saying that at that time, when this is happening in the world, you will also find وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبَهُمْ مَوَدَّةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى. At that time, when this is happening, this will also happen. What? That those who will be closest in love and affection for you Muslims, he doesn't say that they will be a Christian people, no. He said they will be a people who will proclaim we are Christians, meaning their primary identity will be their faith. They would not be a secularized Christian people like the Americans and the Canadians and the French and the British and the Germans and the Western Europeans, not modern Western civilization. So which Christians are these? Which Christians are these whose primary identity is their faith, not their nationality? We are Christians. These people are going to be closest in love and affection for you. Who are they? Allah is giving us, sending down this revelation in the Quran for you to think. But you want to be politically correct. You wouldn't think. You'll pay the price for that. You will pay the price for not thinking. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ مِنْهُمْ كِسِّسِينَ وَرُحْبَانَ. What I am doing, you can do it as well, but you're too scared to do it. This is because amongst them there are priests. There is the institution of the priesthood. The priest still has a commanding position in society. The institution of priesthood is still intact in that society. In this one here in the West, Santa Claus has taken the priest for a ride, yes. But in that side, the priest still has that position. They still honor and respect their priest. The priest performs a strategically important role in society. وَرُحْبَانَ, and amongst those Christians, you recognize them. How? There would be a Christian people who still preserve the institution of monasticism. They have the monastery. And the reason why, one of the reasons why the Orthodox Christians in Montenegro, a country with only 600,000 people, and 200,000 are on the streets demonstrating, because the government wants to take away so many of the monasteries belonging to the church. That's right. And here are people who love their monastery. They love the monastic way of life. They love the monks. On this side, the monastery has now become McDonald's, hamburgers, and Kentucky Fry. And the monastic way of life is drying up, is dying out in the Western world. And you know that. I don't have to tell you that. But there is a Christian, there are a Christian people, other than these in the West, who still preserve the monastic way of life. وَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. And they are not an arrogant people. They don't want to rule the world. these Christians on this side want to rule the world, those who control power, I say. They want to rule the world, so Venezuela must bend its knee. That's why Venezuela is suffering. Iran must bend its knee. That's why Iran is suffering. China must bend her knee. That's why China is suffering. Russia must bend her knee. That's why Russia is suffering. This is arrogance on this side. But those Christians don't have that arrogance. No. They're not an arrogant people. They don't want to rule the world. So who are these Christians? Because we now living in that stage of history where the Jews are once again the most hostile of all to us. So it is at this time that a Christian people, as described in the Quran, are going to come closest in love and affection to us. If what the Quran is speaking of is pointing towards this people, these Christian people, but the historical reality on the ground makes you hostile to them, then who will you follow? I'm speaking now to my critics in the Balkans, not those who respond with all kinds of nasty comments and disrespect and so on. I'm speaking about those critics who sincerely believe they're rightly guided and who have respect for me, but differ with me. These are the ones I'm speaking to. And I speak to you gently, and I speak to you respectfully, to point out to you that the historical reality in which you are imprisoned is a historical reality manufactured by Dajjal. You cannot remain faithful to that and abandon the Quran. It is with the Quran that you must stay. And when you stay with the Quran, you will be on the right side of history. Now then, let us proceed. If a Christian people are to become closest in love and affection for Muslims, at that time when the Jews are most hostile, you have to understand that this is countering this. At that time when they are hostile, they are friendly. So if you have to seek friends to help you in supporting you from those who are being hostile to you, you have to turn to those who are friendly to you. This is the guidance from the Quran. And now I ask you, how can a people become, it doesn't say become friendly to Muslims. It says akrabahum, the closest of all, the closest of all, akrabahum mawaddatan, closest of all in love and affection for Muslims would be a people who declare, we are Christian. This is the Quran. And I say to you, my brothers and my sisters who are differing with me, but who have respect for me, I want to point out to you today, I may not be able to return to this subject again. Every time I give a session, I have to believe it might be my last, because I'm now 80 years of age by the moon, and Allah has told us, use the moon to count the years. لِتَعْلَمُ عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ. So I have to use the moon. If a people are going to become closest in love and affection to Muslims, then a little bit of common sense will tell you that they cannot draw closest of love in love to Muslims without also drawing closest in love to Islam. And hence, if they're drawing closest in love to Islam, they will be drawing closer to the Quran. Closest of all to the Quran, closest of all to Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And therefore they will be drawing closer to Allah, because this is the truth and this is the truth. If a people are coming closer and closer to the Quran and you fail to reciprocate, if people are coming closer and closer to Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and you fail to reciprocate because you say, no, this is what happened in history, and that is what happened in history, and that is what happened in history. Are you not betraying the truth? Would you not think? I'm begging you, I'm appealing to you, because I know you are people who have sincerity for Islam. You're not like the rest who are comfortable with NATO. Not like them, those sheep and cattle. Let them go their way. I'm talking about you who have sincerity in your heart, but who you differ with me. And you treat me with respect. To you, I'm saying that these Christians will automatically be drawing closer to Islam when they draw closest of all to the Muslims. They will be automatically drawing closer and closer to the Quran, and automatically drawing closer and closer to Islam. They do not have to enter into this ummah. No. The Quran tells us. Let me share this with you, okay? Because you are not going to jump up on a table, take the shahada, take the shahada, take the shahada. No. You are recognizing these people are drawing closer to the Quran. These people are drawing closer to Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And therefore they're drawing closer to the truth. And so you have to reciprocate. You cannot be hating them. You cannot be drawing away from them when they are drawing closer to you. Have you got no sense in your head? You have to reciprocate. You cannot say, no, they have to enter into this ummah. The world must end with one ummah. Only one. We cannot accept any other. But Allah says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا وَلَكِنْ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِيمَا آتَاكُمْ. If Allah had so wished, Allah could have caused us all to become one ummah, but not. He did not do that. وَلَكِنْ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِيمَا أَتَاكُمْ فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. He has allowed us to remain as separate ummahs so that He can test us in what He has given to us. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. So you must compete with each other in all that is good. So now let me share with you this crucially important verse of the Quran. And I want to remind you before I turn to this verse of the Quran, that when we are questioned in the grave, there will be preliminary questions. The preliminary questions in the grave are like the ones in the courthouse, the courtroom, where you are required to identify yourself. What is your name? Who is your father's name? Where do you live? And so on. So in the grave, the preliminary questions would be, who is your Rabb? Who is your Lord God? Who is your prophet? And if you answer and you say, well, my prophet is Muhammad, Allah's blessings be upon him, then your book is the Quran. But if you say, my prophet is Jesus, Nabi Isa alayhi salam, then your book is the Gospel, Injil. So what answer will you give? I know what answer I will give. My answer is, I follow this prophet, Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. I am not going to say that I follow that prophet, or that prophet, or that prophet. I am going to say, I follow this prophet. What will you say? I'm asking you in the Balkans. I'm asking you in Turkey. I'm asking you who say you are Muslims. Will you say that you follow Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, like I will say? Good. So now listen to what Allah says in the Quran. It is that time when they want to crucify Nabi Isa alayhi salam. And he does not know what will happen. So Allah speaks to him. And that conversation is recorded in Surah Ali Imran of the Quran. Listen to the conversation. Listen. Ya Isa, O Jesus, inni mutawaffiq, I'm going to take your soul. If Allah takes the soul, there are only two things he can do. Is the Ahmadiyya movement listening? If Allah takes the soul, there are only two things he can do, not three. Not three, only two. He can either keep the soul, in which case you're dead. Now you're dead. If he takes the soul, that is not death. That is not death. If he takes the soul and he keeps the soul, فَيُمْسِكُ الَّتِي قَضَى عَلَيْهَا الْمَوْتِ, that is death, that is maut. Or the second thing he can do, وَيُرْسِلُ الْأُخْرَى إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى, he can return the soul for a determined period of time. This happens at night time when we're sleeping. And this is what happened with Nabi Isa alayhi salam. He says, oh Jesus, I'm going to take your soul. Meaning, I'll take your soul and then I'll return your soul. وَرَافِيُكَ إِلَيَّ, and I'm going to raise you unto myself. So he was not raised to heaven. He was not raised to the Samawat. Allah doesn't say so. He said, I'm going to raise you to myself. وَمُتَحِّرُكَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, and I'm going to cleanse you and purify you of all that they have hurled against you, that world of kufr. So as history proceeds, it becomes more and more impossible for anyone to get up publicly and hurl any false statement against Nabi Isa alayhi salam, because Allah is purifying him of all that rubbish. That is what's happening today. Now listen. Are you listening in the Balkans? وَجَعِلُ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوكَ, and I'm going to cause those who follow you. The world which follows him is today called the Christian world, not a Jewish world, not a Muslim world, Christian world, and Nasara. وَجَعِلُ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوكَ فَوْكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, I'm going to cause those who follow you, not Santa Claus, follow you, to be raised above and dominant over that other group which rejects you, which is the Jewish world, and the Christian world, which is in alliance with that Jewish world. And they are the ones who now have NATO as their military arm. And you are in NATO's embrace, and you are comfortable with that. Your heart is in the wrong place. You're heading for the hellfire, and you don't even know it. وَجَعِلُ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوكَ فَوْكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, I'm going to cause them to be raised who follow Jesus until the last day. إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, I will raise them to the position of dominance and they will remain there until the last day. So Allah is favoring, He is favoring, He's showing His favor to a Christian people who will remain Christian because they're following Nabi Isa. They're not a part of this ummah. And Allah is still favoring them until the end of the world. So why do you have to jump up? Take the Shahada, take the Shahada. Can't you understand that they can still remain in that ummah and still be favored by Allah? But as history proceeds, they're coming closer and closer to the Quran and closer to Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and closest in love and affection for us. And you will not reciprocate. What will Allah do with you? If you continue to hate them and despise them and block them, they come in to embrace you and you shove them away, shame on you. And what a fate awaits you if you do not reciprocate. I recognize your sincerity I recognize that you are based and you are imprisoned in historical reality, and you're not paying adequate attention to the Quran. So I come to you as an elder brother and as a scholar of Islam to help you, to assist you, not to fight with you. No. The others, they're just like cattle and sheep. And they hurl all kinds of obscenities against me and ridiculous and disrespectful things, but not you. You show respect for me, but you differ with me. So that's why I respect for you. I have respect for you, and I reach out to you today to explain to you gently that they cannot become closest in love and affection for us Muslims without also coming closer and closer to the Quran and closer to Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. To say that they have hatred in their hearts for Islam, how do you explain? I went to the University of Belgrade. The auditorium is packed, packed. And I'm lecturing for the first time. They're seeing me for the first time. And 99% of them are Orthodox Christians, just a handful of Muslims. How do you explain that they were crying? They were crying in the auditorium when I was lecturing. How do you explain that? Answer, they are already drawing closer and closer to Islam. So it's time for you to rethink. This is why I'm speaking to you today. I'm begging you, I'm appealing to you, be faithful to the Quran. And do not be imprisoned by history. Turn to the Quran and you recognize that Dajjal is the author of that historical reality, those events in history which block you from embracing your Orthodox Christian brother. Now come forward and support. Let the Muslims of the Balkans come forward and support their Orthodox Christian brothers who are being attacked by NATO in Montenegro. Show them that you love them. Show them that you support them today. Tomorrow they will be closest in love and affection for you. Thank you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I look forward to meeting you in just a few minutes from now. Another half an hour, no, 1 hour from now at Rafin Sab in Longdonville, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.